This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad to be with you on this weekend, the first weekend of May. And joining us right now is our co-host on the program. He's been a stalwart for a number of years with New Beginnings. He is Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. And we say that quite often, Joe McKenzie. I'll give you your website. It's rippleconnects.com. You can reach him at 763-438-1621. How do you turn candidates into contenders? What does that even mean?
Well, it was kind of a mantra that years ago we determined that anybody that could apply for a job immediately became a candidate. But we also knew that a contender mindset, knowing how to understand what that employer needs to accomplish and how your most relevant, significant accomplishments relate to that, that is going above and beyond just filling out an application and pressing send. But we also know that contenders unearth opportunities in Minnesota's hidden job market, and contenders want to step into a role that they're going to grow, thrive, and just keep that career trajectory going up. That's a contender. That's a contender mindset. And that's what we help our clients to do.
Contender mindset. And we're talking about the contenders that you're helping and people who are listening. I believe these are also contenders. We're talking about a reopening economy and creating the next job search. And to bring people up to date, this is our part two of this segment. Talk about what we were talking about last week and the key takeaway that we left our listeners with as we said goodbye last weekend.
Absolutely, Freddie. Briefly, we talked about how as the economy reopens, it may look like it's a few years back, but it's really good. It really has changed. Industries have changed for the good. They will not bring some of those jobs back. Some companies will have a different service model. Some companies will have employees work completely remotely. And everything that goes with job search, from virtual interviews to virtual networking to just being able to talk about how you can work independently, all comes into play now. So it may look like 2019, but 2021, the second half, as the economy reopens, is going to be different. And so therefore, we want to make sure that everybody that hears our voices today understands you do have to adapt your job search strategy if you're going to be able to uncover some of the opportunities. If not, you may fall short and wonder why. And that's why we want to dedicate 2 weeks to reopening economy and how do you create your new type of job search.
When we left last weekend, we were talking about strategies that a 2021 job seeker going into 2022 even might need to consider as they craft their new job search strategy. And what might that look like right now, Joe McKenzie?
Well, I think this is a perfect time with so many changes and so many companies trying to figure out their new direction. Hey, we had to change this, that, and everything. Well, this may be also an opportunity for someone in the midst of their career, whatever age, to maybe reinvent themselves, maybe recalibrate their career, or just retool themselves. I've often said that, reinvent, recalibrate, retool. Freddie, this might be that ideal time, because companies have changed their models. They've service delivery, their relationship with their employees. I've said it before that I stepped into a Minnesota nonprofit in a community-facing director's role. And Freddie, I couldn't go out in the community because of the COVID. But I adapted because I was trained to do that. And from my transferable skills and my experience, someone that hears us today may say, this might be the perfect opportunity for me to reinvent my career or recalibrate, retool it, because so much has changed. To the point where the hospitality, the tourism, technology industry, healthcare, you know, just the logistics of getting packages from point A to B, your reinvention in your career, this may be that perfect time, Freddie, because so much has changed. But you cannot do that without that type of information about what's changed, how it's changed, and how you can meet those changes that employers are looking for. And that, I think, is the biggest part of someone's job search today. Don't look for a job like it's 2019 and free field feel free to not look for a job that maybe you just came from. Maybe so much has changed that your transferable skills, your emotional intelligence, your experience, your knowledge, your expertise is needed in a completely different industry. It happens every day in Minnesota. And that's where I think someone should have that freedom to say, okay, I'm going to relook at my job search and do things differently because so much has changed in all these industries. My skills are needed over here. I was here for 20 years, but it's needed over there because of the information I gained. And that is how a reopening economy is going to play out, but also how an individual attacks the new economy that is in front of us.
It's interesting, and I find it hard to believe that after the year that we've had and how we've been connecting with social media and on Zoom calls and Ring Central, all of these different media, that it would escape someone that things are different and they have to repackage their tool set or their strategy in order to leverage what's going on right now. But I would imagine there's still some people who this has passed them by and they're not really conversant in how people are communicating today.
I think you're right, Freddie. I think there's that comfort in thinking that nothing's really changed. We're just going to go back to completely the way it was. And there's going to be some areas that will be, but we also know that companies learn some things about themselves. They knew that maybe they didn't need to have everybody in office every day. Maybe we can work more efficiently and remotely and cost effectively in that type of workplace arrangement. If a job seeker doesn't recognize that that's what an employer is looking for, then they're missing. They're not going to be connecting on what that employer needs to accomplish. So I hope people are not lulled into thinking everything's going to go back to the way it was. And, you know, step into action and realize what's changed and how I, as the individual job seeker, can adapt my own.
And that makes a lot of sense. And I'm wondering, I love the word that you use quite a bit, is recalibrate your career. So how might an individual consider reinventing, recalibrating, there's that word, or even retooling their career in light of what's going on today?
Well, I think, Freddie, if they realize that some industries are needing your time and experience and everything that goes with it, and we as job seekers recognize it, that's prime opportunity for us to reinvent ourselves. Freddie, we've each reinvented ourselves in our careers, right?
We have.
Well, we realized that there was a need. We realized the skills and experience we brought is what was needed. Why not? I think everybody in their career should think that way to it. If you identify a need, know where your experience, your relevant accomplishments equate to what they need to accomplish. That's a recipe for reinvention or recalibration or retooling, in a sense that maybe you get in and you know, my friend Kevin Leonard talks about landing and expanding in a role. You might get into a position where maybe it's just some additional training or some seminars that you want to attend, and that could be the retooling piece. I've worked with people that have landed in the nonprofit, but they hadn't worked with grant writing. Well, we can certainly arrange work with them to have grant writing coursework and expertise, but it's because of those transferable skills that those people bring to the table. That's what I mean by retooling. It might be we're reinventing or recalibrating. It is just simply recognizing what employers need and what you bring to the table.
Well, and that recognition is where the opportunity happens to lie.
It does, Freddie. And I think those bench of advocates, we've talked about them for 7 years, and I hope that doesn't come across as just, you know, doesn't have the impact that it once was. But my advocates have told me where I could plug in, what this industry needed. Well, that's why I share that. Those advocates have helped me. I know advocates have helped others that I've talked to. Your advocates are going to also give you those nuggets of information, those insights that you may not have. And if you can run with that or even just drill down on those nuggets of information, isn't that a prime opportunity to potentially know where you could reinvent into?
It seems it would be a prime opportunity. And I think the key is keeping your eyes open and your ear to the ground to understand when these opportunities present themselves and insert yourself into that space.
Absolutely, Freddie. And just being open to it. We weren't put on this earth to just do one thing for 40, 50 years in our career. Those transferable skills are real, and those transferable skills that we each have are needed in different industries, particularly as the economy reopens. And I could go on and on about that. You know, how do we communicate with people? Well, maybe we hire the person that's the best communicator in the room to head up this division over here because we're all working remotely.
Exactly.
Think of that, the communication as a transferable skills. If you're as a skill, if you're experienced at that and you're proficient at it, you are in high demand, because if you have 30 people on your staff working not in the building, you better be an effective communicator in writing, verbal, listening. It goes on and on. Those skills are needed in each and every industry today in Minnesota. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I agree. And unfortunately, we're out of time. You do some great work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And we'll be right back.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
I happen to be a possibility thinker because I know that I can reach my goals and overcome any challenge. That's our point of focus, confidence. I'm not discouraged by what seems to be lack or limitation in my life. At one time in history, no one believed that a person could run faster than a 4-minute mile. It was implausible to imagine that a man would ever walk on the moon, let alone a black man become president of the United States. In the past, I've overcome obstacles even when I couldn't see a clear path to my success. I've met my goals and objectives because I knew in my heart that I could, and I know that some of you share that same thought. When you hold on to this kind of confidence, hope replaces doubt, and your mind sees a new dawn. If I'm ever in doubt, I simply re-energize my confidence because I know that everything works out well. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back. And with me right now, I have to say that she's becoming a regular on our program, and we're excited about that. We're talking with the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state of Minnesota's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. She's leading it, Elizabeth Ebolt. Good morning. Glad you're with us.
Thanks, Freddie. The excitement is mutual.
Well, super. There are a lot of things going on in the state of Minnesota right now with regard to vaccine, and I've been seeing news about the mobile vaccination unit. Can you tell us more about that and how and why is it rolling?
Yes, certainly. So after a lot of anticipation this past week, the state launched our mobile vaccination units that will be servicing communities statewide. This launch, it's a partnership between the MDH between Blue Cross Blue Shield, Metro Transit, and the Met Council, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation. So we have retrofitted 6 buses that meet ADA requirements that will be an important tool for us to be able to vaccinate vulnerable and underserved populations statewide. And the purpose behind these buses is really to continue bringing vaccine into the communities. We want to make sure that there are the lowest barriers possible to accessing the vaccine. And it's been shown through our work over the last few months that bringing them into community really helps bridge that gap. So we're starting with 2 mobile vaccination units that will be offering vaccines in the metro area up to 1 hour outside of the metro, and we'll be increasing to 6 total buses, like I said, by the summer. They'll operate Monday through Thursday, and each bus will be able to vaccinate about 150 people per day. We figure out locations for these buses based off our own statewide demographic data, our vaccine and testing data, but also in partnership with community-based organizations that are well-informed on where the need is. So community-based organizations can actually request a mobile vaccination unit. They can do that by visiting www.health.state.mn.us/diseases/coronavirus/vaccine. And that is our pathway to then requesting a mobile vaccine unit to be set up at a community-based organization. So we'll continue working with community partners to promote each mobile vaccination unit and ultimately help drive participants to their location.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebalt. She is the vaccine coordinator for the state of Minnesota. And I'm just curious, with the relationships that you have with Walmart, Sam's Clubs, and so forth, different pharmacies throughout the state, why is it important to have a mobile vaccine unit as well?
Yes, and I think that we have found success in having as many pathways as possible to a vaccine as we can. So it's great that we have these partnerships with these large scales national chains. It's great that we have partnerships with smaller scale pharmacies and clinics. It's great that we have partnerships with health systems and, of course, our state-run sites and local public health, all of that. But what we have seen and what we're hearing in community is that as much as we can bring vaccines to locations that people feel very comfortable, that people are familiar with, that people are going to anyways for other services, as much as we can incorporate that into our strategy, it will help us get to that herd immunity that we all cannot wait for.
Wow. Good information. And I'm just getting notice right now that the president of the United States has relaxed the mask mandate mm-hmm. for people being outside in large areas, not so much on the inside. Can you expand upon that? Have you gotten that news?
I did get that news. And what I know as of now is that, yes, I think we all are looking forward to things that we can do and not anymore things that we cannot do. I get that. Of course, we're still proceeding with caution, but what the CDC is saying is that for those who are vaccinated, you can feel safe and comfortable to be outdoors without your mask on when you're biking or running or socializing with a small number of other people who are also vaccinated. That's as much as I know right now. And I think that we can expect as our vaccination numbers increase and we get more information about the efficacy of these vaccines, we'll certainly get more information like this.
We're also learning that close to 90% of the available vaccine in the state of Minnesota has been distributed. And you're also expanding that base now with 16-year-olds and over across the state of Minnesota.
That's right. We are. We have really launched part of our Roll Up Your Sleeves Minnesota campaign is highlighting that our youngest vaccine eligible Minnesotans are highlighting our youngest vaccine eligible Minnesotans, which are 16 and 17 year old. And so we are encouraging them, working with community partners that work closely with youth and with other programming, community programming, to really encourage them to do their part in this vaccination process and go out and get a vaccine. So this week in particular, we were prioritizing appointments for 16 and 17 year olds at our Mall of America community vaccination site. and registering for that site, our youth can go online, can go to the MGH website, click on a direct link to the Mall of America site and sign up for an appointment, or call the number that's listed there to book an appointment over the phone. We're also encouraging them to come with their parents and caregivers to also get vaccinated, so it can be a full family effort to be part of this solution.
It's interesting. So a lot of people are hearing our conversation right now on May 1st. What happens after May 1st with this super emphasis on 16 and 17 year olds?
After May 1st, it continues. This was really just the start of this campaign, of this push. We will continue doing the same and saving appointments and prioritizing vaccination appointments for our 16 and 17 year olds and their parents. So this will continue until, again, we reach our metrics and reach our thresholds for wanting to get as many Minnesotans as possible vaccinated.
Can you talk about the trials for people who are under 16? I know that maybe a month or two ago, we were hearing that babies and 5-year-olds were involved in trials and their parents were happy to do that if it would take care of making sure that people were safe across the country. Do you have an update on people who are younger than 16?
You know, I'm still getting information from a lot of our internal researchers and subject matter experts on that, actually. So I don't have any more information other than that. Yes, we know that there are parents that were very enthusiastic to participate and have their children participate to get a better understanding, again, of how these vaccines work in children, because we know the outcomes have been quite different with that age group. So more information will be coming on that, certainly.
Everyone, we're with Elizabeth Ebold. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state of Minnesota's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. And I'm just curious, the state fair is abuzz with people coming in and out of the state fair getting their vaccines. How is that working for those specific zip codes to the state fair?
Yes. And last time when we spoke, Freddie, we were really just launching our state fair site. And I'm really happy to say that we've been working hard to encourage people to head to that location and get vaccinated. And we've been seeing a lot of success. But I do want to mention that we've been making some big and important changes to how that site operates to increase and encourage further participation. First, people can now directly book appointments for the state fair site either online by going to our COVID-19 community vaccination page on the MDH website, where they'll see a link to the primary bio registration and sign up online, or they can call 833-431-2053 to book an appointment over the phone. I should also note that that's the same for all of our semi-permanent and permanent sites. You can now either book them online or call the assigned numbers for each of those locations. Next, as of this week, we've also opened up the state fair site for all for walk-in and same-day appointments. We are also continuing to prioritize our high SVI zip codes, but also as of this week, no one will be turned away if they go to the state fair site. So even if you're not in one of those eligible zip codes, you can still walk up to the state fair site and get an appointment. And lastly, we've made it so that every appointment at the state fair site, you'll get a downloadable Metro Transit bus pass to then be able to get to the site for free. And also Metro Mobility is offering free rides to those users to the state fair site.
Wonderful innovations. We're out of time. Elizabeth Ebold, I can't thank you enough for being with us, talking about what's happening with vaccines in the state of Minnesota.
Of course. Thanks, Freddie.
And you're listening to New Beginnings. If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on New Beginnings. And now with us is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris. They're located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you'd like to reach them by phone, it is 612-344-2221. Kitty Harris, good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. I'm so excited for better weather than what we've had in the last few weeks. So
yes,
this is good. My attitude is better, and I think everybody is grateful for it. Many things going on at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and not at the level that it used to be pre-COVID, but I get the sense that things are starting to come back a little bit so far in the first quarter.
Yes, we are very excited that we are slowly kind of seeing ourselves again and seeing a little bit of vibrancy around what we used to be. As you said, definitely not at the level in which we used to operate for our community and for our seniors, but certainly getting there. And that's been made possible by just hosting vaccine clinics, not only for the community, but for our on-site partners. And so we're very happy that our senior rock group, Alive and Kicking, we were able to ensure that their entire cast ensemble received the vaccines. And so we are in preparation to start planning some outdoor concert series that we will do in our parking lot over at 1015 4th Avenue North upcoming this summer. And additionally, we have been offering community vaccines through Lau Assistance Center, which is one of our newer partners. And so as we've been able to offer these things, we have been able to start planning some more community programs and events more focused on health. So we are very excited that we will be able to host a breast cancer event, and it's going to be on Thursday, May the 27th, in partnership with the Lau Community Center. And so we're very excited to get back to what we have been doing, which is providing those health and wellness events for our community.
I know the community really depends a lot on the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. That's really a hub in the city. So tell us about the registration, if there is any needed for the big event on May 27th.
So if anybody is interested in receiving services for the breast cancer event, they can give the staff at the Lau Assistance Center of Minnesota a call. They can reach them at 612-450-4645. That's the program manager for their women's health. And one of the reasons why this is such a great partnership is the Lau Assistance Center brings not only a strong, they've been in North Minneapolis for over 20 years. So they have such a strong presence, but their ability to reach our Lao American population in Minnesota and to help bridge that gap, not only with another minority community, but help with that language barrier, has been such a strong asset to our partnership over at Cora McCorvey.
Wow. So how can we register for the event for the Awareness Center?
So if anybody wants to get more information, 612-344-2221 or 612-450-4645. And as the summer continues to open up, we will continue to advertise all of our community programs and events on our Facebook page under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
All right. That's Kitty Harris. She's a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Thanks for being with us, and you're listening to New Beginnings. If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with me now, we're really excited to have the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Jay Habila. Good morning and welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Freddie, and good morning, everyone out there in Radio Land.
Glad to have you along with us. And there's been a report released for the year 2020 with regard to what certain investigators have found with regard to crime, cybercrime scams, and so forth. And can you tell us what that report card looks like?
That's right. Annually, the Federal Trade Commission and the fraud investigators announce their reports, and they've done so for last year. And it's not good news. It was a real banner year for cyber criminals when complaints soared to really record highs with over $4 billion reported in losses. And the experts believe, and I don't have a reason to disagree with them, that the surge in this type of cyber crimes was created by the crooks who exploited the pandemic and victims who were more vulnerable because we're all living through such difficult times.
Who were the people most victimized by these crimes, Jay?
Yeah, so there's a misconception about older people always being the target of scams, and that's not necessarily true. Older and younger people are victimized by scams at about the same rate. But what's different is that when older folks are victimized, they tend to lose more money. So I'm not saying all older people are wealthy, but they tend to have access to more savings. And so the average person in their 60s, when they're victimized by a scam, they lose about $10,000 compared to in younger people who just don't have that much cash on hand, lose more like $3,000 on average to scams.
Well, so what can we do to help the scammers not to be as successful as they were last year?
Yeah, right. Well, the problem is a lot of the factors and the pandemic and other issues in our communities are still here. So we're still living through difficult times. You know, some of it is just functional. Like, what are you doing every day? And people are shopping online more, communicating online more in ways that can be anonymous for the bad guys to victimize people. But here's the thing. I want to talk today about stress. People are stressed out, whether it's the pandemic or whether it's the justice issues in our communities and ongoing violence and these problems that we're facing. It causes stress. And guess what? When people are stressed out, they're more vulnerable to being scammed. I can't tell you how many scam victims I've talked to, and part of their story is that they're going through a difficult time. Maybe they've lost their job. They're having money trouble. Even people who've lost, you know, their widows and widowers who've lost a loved one. And that situation they're in their life with the stress and the difficulty and the emotional distress is what makes them vulnerable to scams.
Oh, my gosh. So what would you suggest as a remedy? I know you're not a doctor, but what would the prescription be?
That's sure. And well, that's true. And what I want to encourage folks today is that if they can help it, if they're feeling that stress, if they're feeling that emotional distress, to slow down and avoid making any financial decisions during that time. And I know it's hard if someone's going through money problems or other, you know, bad situations. It's hard to slow down. But that's my advice for today is if you can help it, to slow down and not make those kind of financial choices when you're under stress.
Well, everyone, Jay Habila with us, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement with the AARP Minnesota. Is there a telephone number that you can leave with us? I know we've talked about the AARP's Fraud Watch Network. Is that still operating?
Oh, yeah. You know it. So folks can call 877-908-3360. And especially, you know, during that time, if you're having a hard time and trying to figure out is something a scam or not, you need someone to talk to, you want to slow down and get advice, give us a call. And also, it's easier to find online. So it's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. and you go to that website, get some resources, and I find that phone number there too.
Very good. Jay Habila, can't thank you enough for being with us on New Beginnings.
Thank you, sir.
And our program continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
You can get together indoors with other fully vaccinated people, unvaccinated healthy people, without wearing a mask. This would be like a grandparent traveling to visit their children and grandchildren who all live together in the same household. But if you're visiting a household where there will be immunocompromised people there who are at increased risk of getting really sick if they catch the coronavirus, you should still wear a mask.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you. You got here right on time on this incredible first day of May. I believe it's May Day. And with us now is Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. She is the founder. You can find her online at westmetrohypnosis.com or by phone at 952-222-3975. Happy May 1st, Kelly.
Happy May 1st, Freddie, and I just want to tell you that I love being here.
And we love that you're here, too, and I have a suspicion that that might be our topic for our Mindful Reset today.
Absolutely, it is. So let's just everybody come together and take a breath and breathe. Feel tension, feel tightness, just release from your muscles. You can take a moment and suspend yourself from doing what you were doing or continue to engage in it, but from a different mindset with a little bit more relaxation. And no matter what you're doing, as you breathe, let's just all call up our ability to love. This sometimes seemingly difficult concept to understand. And yet knowing love pours forth from us, we don't have to figure it out. A love that transcends romantic love, motherly love, fatherly love. The love that we sometimes withhold from others, that there is a transcendental love that breaks through all barriers, and each and every one of us is capable of it. So what if we just take a moment and observe what happens when we contemplate our innate ability to allow love to pour forth without force, without needing to figure out how, imagining almost as if a floodgate is let open and the cleansing waters of love flow through us, out from us, washing over us, loving ourselves in this moment at a deeper level than perhaps what we were doing before. That love for ourselves, stopping negative dialogue, judgments, critique, And as we direct this love towards ourselves, it has an immediate impact to go forth and be directed outward to others. So we no longer feel as if we need to withhold any sort of love, that we can let it flow freely from us, having a soothing, balming effect upon our nervous systems, upon our psyche, upon the deeper part of ourselves, as we surrender into love and let it open us up. And going on throughout the rest of our day now with this deeper sense. Thank you for being here.
And thank you, Kelly. This is New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Now today I'm speaking about a journey we will make together in the coming weeks, but don't worry. You don't have to go outside. Ash Wednesday is only 10 days away, and that will mark the beginning of the Lenten season. This annual tradition of the Christian calendar is essentially a pilgrimage or spiritual journey, and those who choose to take the trip will travel together, not alone. This Lenten pilgrimage is a community experience, not a solitary one. Well, first of all, what is a pilgrimage? Someone asked me that this week. A pilgrimage is a journey, often into an unknown or foreign place, where a person goes in search of new or expanded meaning about their self, others, nature, or a higher good. It can lead to a personal transformation, after which the pilgrim returns to their daily life. Pilgrimages frequently involve a journey or a search of moral or spiritual significance. Typically, it is a journey to a shrine or other location of importance to a person's beliefs and faith. Although sometimes it can be a metaphorical journey into someone's own beliefs. And such is our tradition in our greater Unity community. Charles Fillmore often spoke of this Lenten journey, that it was a movement not in space, but a movement in mind. It was moving with ideas in mind, from a more limited understanding to a greater comprehension. This Lenten journey of 2021 may prove to be a great opportunity to find the much called for unity that can supersede the divisions so prevalent in the world today. Many think this goal is almost impossible at this time in our world. Saint Francis claimed, "Start by doing what's necessary. Then do what's possible. And suddenly, you're doing the impossible." As my friend in New York, Patsy Scala, noted, When we do the necessary simple things with love, grace comes. Unity is established, and soon we are doing what the world deemed impossible. In the words of Jesus, all things are possible for God. That is a consciousness of oneness or unity. We should ask, but how do we get to this state of mind, this consciousness of unity, and transcend our boundaries created by ego, opinion, or the attitude, hey, it's my way or the highway? Transcendence is possible, though. Jesus gave us a formula in John's Gospel. Many limit the idea to simply his experience of death and resurrection. But I think it speaks to each one of us and our own pilgrimage. The words he spoke, there is no greater love, which is unity, than this: to lay down one's life or ego for one's friends. Did you hear that? There is no greater love, which is unity, than to lay down one's ego,
one's limited sense of life, to put it aside for the benefit, the welfare of one's friends. Well, I want to give you some examples of either willingness or lack of willingness to transcend the boundaries created by our individual egos day by day. How we define ourselves, the groups to which we claim to be a part, the roles that we establish for ourselves in our lives. We can go beyond these barriers if we choose. And my premise is, until we go beyond these barriers, we cannot achieve the power of unity or truly coming together for a common good. I'm going to invite you to recall our lesson of January 24th, holding the high watch. Now, that was not long ago, and it is recorded in our archives on YouTube. So if you didn't hear it, you have the opportunity of going back and watching it. Holding the high watch. We can't get to the big picture, that high watch perspective, if we are stuck in a limited self-identity. Whether it is something like, I'm not good enough, I don't have the experience to do this work, or I am a teacher, a hero, a healer, a fixer, a fighter, etc. Or perhaps you see yourself in the role of a caregiver. Or perhaps I am a Republican, Democrat, Independent, and many other examples. Now, we can choose our team to play a game or attain a goal, as long as we realize we are much more than any one game or one purpose. Emily Cady wrote in our foundational textbook for unity, Lessons in Truth, "Beloved, as surely as you and I live, it is all one and the same truth. There may be a distinction, but it is without difference." Do you hear that? There may be a distinction, but it is without difference. In other words, we all live our lives filled with distinctions of how we hold our identity separate or in distinction to others. But Dr. Cady reminds us, in truth, there is no difference among us. That is a powerful idea. From this higher perspective, distinctions or divisions offer no real difference in truth.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.